Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Global Tribe of Disruption. This is Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. Today's show is Men and Hillary, men and their relationship with powerful women. Is there a double standard? We are live every Sunday on WHCR, the Voice of Harlem. You can find us at WHCR.org, 90.3 FM. Also live on my Facebook page. So I'm Nick Papadopoulos, Coach Nick, transformational leader, author, speaker, and my favorite of all, disruptor. Why we're here is to awaken humanity, emphasis on the M-A-N. After all, I'm a dude, we're dudes. Awaken humanity to leave their mark in the world and to get connected to something much, much larger than ourselves. We deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, culture engagement at companies, and executive coaching to committed people who want to disrupt their automatics. We also have a men's group here in New York City. In fact, actually, Global Tribe, the men's group for Dudes of Disruption is meeting tomorrow night here in the city, November 7th, and also November 21st, Monday. So please, send your dudes, if you're a lady, send your dudes to our group. We're an awesome community. And if you're a dude wanting to connect with men who are committed to living life purposefully and transforming the world, come and join us. You can email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. So today we're talking about men and Hillary. Is it a mom issue that we're having? Is that why some dudes and dudettes are having an issue? Is it a mom issue? So today we're going to have Say What, which is an article that covers and supports the story that we're doing for the show. We have Ask a Dudette with life coach Kerry Turner coming in. We have live in the studio Will Jackson. We're going to hear from Will Jackson in a moment. But we start first every show we start with Nick's riff.
I know that, dude.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change.
Yeah, revolution. We start every show with Nick's riff, which includes a quote or some lyrics from a song. I'm going to pull out a classic, which is from Bob Dylan. Come gather around people wherever you roam and admit that the waters around you have grown and accept that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. And if your breath to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, for the times they are a changin'. That is the name of the song. The times are a changin'. Gender roles in this country have been, are, and will continue to change. Today's conversation is men and Hillary. Is it a mom issue that dudes are having? Is it a double standard? I want to hear from the Global Tribe. Online comments, or you can call in at 212-650-6903. I saw an article called Another Hillary Clinton Witch Hunt. I heard the following quote, which was, Hillary is ambitious, determined, and persistent. The exact qualities necessary for someone striving to break the barrier of a male-dominated presidency and even a male-dominated culture. And the same qualities that have made her a magnet for such intense mistrust and hatred. Interesting. There was an interview with Obama recently. And it was from this woman, Samantha Bee, who's the host of Full Frontal. And she says, or this is the conversation, if and when Hillary is president, what do you think will be the female equivalent, the female version of you weren't born in this country, she says to President Obama. And Mr. Obama said, I think the equivalent will be she's tired, she's moody, she's being emotional. He goes on to say, President Obama does, that when men are ambitious, it's just taken for granted. In fact, it's actually even celebrated. It's a good thing, right? Well, of course they should be ambitious, he said. When women are ambitious, the question is why? That theme, I think, will continue throughout her presidency and has contributed to the notion that somehow she's hiding something. When a woman is being ambitious, She's hiding something. Interesting, Global Tribe. I want to hear your comments online or call in. Is there a double standard for women who want to be ambitious? In this case, is Hillary actually hiding something? Look, Coach Nick's show, the Dudes of Disruption show, is not a political show. We're not a political show, so I'm telling you that up front right now. We are a show about disrupting the automatics that exist in our lives and in our culture. And so I'm going to keep asking the question, is there a double standard that's automatic in our culture? Is Hillary continuously being investigated? And are millions of dollars being poured in, tax dollars that is, being poured into these investigations because there's a double standard? Because somehow it's weird when a woman is being ambitious. I'm just asking the question. And if the men out there are uncomfortable with gender roles changing, if we're a little wonky around it, if it seems a little bizarre, because we've operated inside of a certain paradigm for so long, it's okay. It's normal if you're feeling a bit thrown off or messed up or even angry for that matter. It's okay. It's normal. Let's just fess up to it because it's potentially impacting more relationships than you actually realize, since half the population that you and I are dealing with are females. Meaning, if we're wonky around Hillary, then maybe we're wonky around other powerful women in our lives. I mentioned we have Mr. Will Jackson in the studio. Will Jackson is an inclusion consultant. Sounds kind of fancy. Inclusion consultant. He is the publisher of an online magazine for black men called Abernathy and a recovering technologist. I love that. His guiding principles, this I really, really love. Will's guiding principles are empathy and compassion. We could certainly use that always in this world. And he seeks to bring his ethos into all of the work that he does. So, Willie, if I told you that Hillary was married 3 times, that she has 5 kids from 3 different husbands, that the first relationship, Will, ended because she was caught cheating on her husband, okay? And that her latest husband, right, her third husband, is from another country, and he's about 25 years her junior. And I could go on the internet and find provocative pictures of him actually getting it on with another man, being in provocative poses. Do you think she would be treated differently than her male opponent? Do you think, Will, that they would even allow her to run in the primaries? What's your take? And thank you for joining us, Will Jackson.
Nick, thank you for having me today. I think my first question would be why all those topics are relevant. But in the context of this non-political, political show, conversation we're having.
I like to say that 3 times in a row.
Non-political, we're having a wonderful chat about politics today on your non-political show.
Let's
get into it. Yeah, there's no question that she would be held to a different standard. There's no question that her reputation would suffer mightily at the hands of those who seek to detract from her image and her credibility and so forth. So, yeah, short answer is yes, she would absolutely be just destroyed in the media.
Okay.
That happening in particular. There's no question in my mind.
Right. Why do you feel that that is? Like, why would she be destroyed? And I may be asking a very basic question, right? Because in some ways, the male opponent that's running for president, it's like not a big deal. It's not even a factor. Whereas there seems to be this double standard. I mean, Hillary caused controversy almost 25 years ago for her famous quote, "I suppose I could have stayed home, baked cookies, and had tea." And at that time, many, many women were offended by that. And that's, I get it. I can get that, right? So she's been a woman who's been very clear. She's been very clear from day one what she wants. She's always aspired to be in the spotlight. She's always aspired to make a difference. She's always aspired to be president, actually. She ran for president against President Obama, right? Why are we having an issue with it? I mean, I thought with women taking a different place and having a different role in our society over the last 30 plus years, I thought we were past all this.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. You know, Hillary Clinton is seen as a bit of a divisive figure.
Okay.
And that is, you know, that has been true for much of her political career. And, you know, I think that's one aspect. Another aspect that we have to acknowledge is the fact that we really live in a society that dramatically benefits men. Like, there's just no question that our society is structured around notions of patriarchy, where men are the breadwinners, men are right. the authorities, men, you know, receive deference. And that undergirds a lot of the way that we think about politics, a lot of the way that we think about power and so forth. So I think there are all these layers you have to begin to peel back. And the final one would be Hillary Clinton, the person.
But yes.
I think what we're dealing with is a system of expectations and a system of patriarchy that just unquestionably benefits men in a way that is just not true for women.
Got it. Thank you, Will. And again, Global Tribe, for those of you joining online, or joining us on WHCR 90.3. This conversation is less about making dudes wrong in any way. Actually, in fact, actually, as I said before, it's an opportunity for us to actually get connected to, are we feeling wonky about a woman potentially being the boss of all bosses? How do we feel in our lives about women having a different place, women being potentially more successful than us in our careers or at home or in our communities, and not as a make wrong, but rather as an opportunity? Because again, half the population, give or take a little percentage points, are women. And so it's important for us to become aware of, which is the purpose of the show, which is disrupting our automatics, to become aware of how we're operating, because how we interact and relate to females is impacted by our background conversation that we have. So we're going to go to break. The question I want to leave the Global Tribe for the next few seconds is do you believe that there's a double standard in this country between men and women? More when we come back to our show, Men and Hillary, Men and Powerful Women. Your phone calls at 212-650-6903. Send in your online comments. All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, Disrupting Your Automatics. We have special guest Willie Jackson. We have Coach Kerry Turner calling in a few moments. This week we're talking about men and Hillary. More importantly, we're talking about men in our relationship to powerful women. We're talking about a paradigm where men have dominated our culture, not as a bad thing. It's just the world that we grew up in, and now the paradigm has evolved. It's changing. It's in question, and we're having a conversation about what impact does that have on dudes, and even for the dudettes out there. Is there a double standard in our country? So, Will, I mentioned to you that we have a Say What segment. So we're going to pull in Say What pretty quickly. The Say What is an article that relates to our topic. And so I found this article called Could It Be a Mom Issue of Why White Men in Particular Are Having an Issue with Hillary Clinton? The article is written by Dr. Prudence Gurgetchon. I'm going to say that wrong, but as a with a guy with a last name like mine, Papadopoulos, I'm very sensitive. So I apologize to Dr. Prudence Gurgetchon. But she did an article where she was the context of the article is that Hillary has traditionally and consistently done poorer with white male voters, both educated and non-educated, college-educated and non-college-educated, right? And she did some interviews, and one of the phenomena that she found from her interviews is that in every interview with these white male voters, not one used the W word. Do you know what the W word is?
Watermelon.
I think she did them in the winter, so maybe that's why they didn't say watermelon, right? Because watermelon is usually a little better in the summertime, I think, because it's refreshing. They didn't use the word woman. Okay, and it's kind of interesting. Hillary Clinton is a white woman, right?
That is interesting. What did they use? Did they say female? Did they say a lady? Did they use a different word, or they just made a reference to her?
They made a reference to her.
That's fascinating.
It is fascinating, right? And it's interesting because white women have played a powerful and conflictual role in the lives of white men throughout their lives, as wives, as sisters, as friends, as daughters, and most importantly and most significantly, as mothers, right? So I'm going to take some passages from this article and feel free to jump in. And again, Global Tribe, you can call in, you can send your online comments. So here's a couple of passages from this article called Could It Be a Mom Issue? I think there's something deeply troubling psychologically to white men about a powerful white woman. Almost all white men had one in their lives at one point. They had a mother, most of them, right? They have a mother who told them when they had to go to bed, when they had to stop playing, when they had to wash up. In the world of psychoanalysis, the past never really goes away, right? We sort of carry the past to some degree with us. So we know people retain traces of these early relationships and overlay them on current ones. There's nothing bad about that, right? But again, the important part is to become aware of that you might be doing that. So now we have this powerful white woman who's very ambitious, and she's been clear about her ambition all along. She might just be stressing out, and she might just be pressing too many buttons that link back to the fear and resentment towards the seemingly omnipotent mother of childhood. Sure, men love their moms, the article goes on to say, but that love, like all love, is always tempered by ambivalence, and in the case of sons and mothers, a fight for autonomy from mother's control on the part of their sons. So, Will, I'm going to ask the question again. Is the woman issue playing into the fact that candidate Trump, in one poll I read, has a 76% to 17% lead over Hillary with non-educated white males and double-digit leads over Hillary with college-educated males. And by the way, this is not anything new. She's been down to white male voters in double digits dating as far back as the primaries. I do believe, because I can speak from personal experience, that men fear the controlling, emasculating woman, a powerful woman who's often perceived as the one that will rip away your autonomy and your masculinity. Listen, I grew up with a mom. I mean, she's an immigrant, so I can't call her necessarily a white mother, but she was a mother who was controlling. She did tell me what to do, when to do it. She definitely had an issue with me being self-expressed. She had an issue with me growing my hair long. She had an issue with the clothes that I wore and the music that I played and the people that I hung out with. She was the authority figure in my family because my dad worked from basically 6 in the morning till 6, 7 at night every day, right? And so when I have encountered a strong woman in my life, I can honestly say I can tell on myself and tell on everyone here live that I've had some issues around that. And so the question is, are we actually having an issue with Hillary being the boss of all bosses?
First of all, I love that you keep calling her the boss of all bosses. That is extraordinarily gangster, Nick. Second, yeah,
it's my queens, Will. It's the queens in me.
I'm on board. So you know when I think about the and as a black male in America, I am precisely unqualified to speak about what white men are thinking about as it relates to this election in particular. But when I think about the principles on which this country was founded and how women and black folks in particular didn't have the right to vote, that their rights weren't centered in the Constitution or so forth, it makes perfect sense to me that there is a large audience of white males in particular who feel like the country might be getting away from them. And the notion of a female president, particularly this candidate, I can easily see that causing a lot of challenges for people. And this is made even more dramatic by the fact that she's juxtaposed against the, you know, the archetype of white male power. Yes. In the United States, which is a rich, white, brash billionaire who, doesn't hold punches, who encourages people to speak their mind, but he is the embodiment of the, I don't really give a damn, I don't really care about political correctness, let's get away with this. And there's a lot of secret handshakes and you know, nods to the alt-right and so forth that is, I think a response to what 8 years of a black man in the White House might represent for people and might bring up for people. So there's no question that there are many, many layers of this to peel back. And it's just not surprising to me that a disenfranchised white male audience who feels like the world is closing in on them, that they're losing their position in power in society and so forth. There's no question that, it's not surprising to me, rather, that there's a rather strong backlash, particularly on the heels of a black president, particularly when your other option is mom.
Right. So I want Louis C.K., the comedian, to weigh in on this. Well, this question about is Hillary representing modern philosophy? We bring only the best here, Lowell. We brought you. We're bringing Louis C.K. in.
Now, Louis, I'm not doing my job if I don't ask you about the election. It's just a week away. You want to talk about it? Who are you supporting?
I'm going to vote for Hillary because And it's stupid to say because I'm a performer and so I'm splitting my audience in half, but I think she's great. It's not a lesser of two evils. I think she's great. I really like her. I think she's really talented and I think she's super smart and I think she's done this for, I would take her over anybody. There really isn't some, it's not because of between the two of them. I would take her over anybody else that would do it. And to me, it's really exciting to have the first mother in the White House. That's what I think.
It's not
about the first woman. It's about the first mom.
Now, what is it about a mom?
Because a mother, she's got it. A mother just does it. She's got she feeds you and teaches you. She protects you. Yeah. She takes care of a father. We've had 240 years of fathers.
Yeah.
Father after father. Bald father, fat father, every kind of father. And fathers are okay. I'm a father.
Yeah.
You're a dad.
Yeah, yeah.
A great father can give a kid 40% of his needs. Top out at 40%. Tops out at 40%.
Yes, yes.
Any mother.
That's optimistic.
That's optimistic.
Yeah.
Any mother, just a mother, like just a not even trying mother, 200%. Like she can't. Mothers do too much. Like, what's the last conversation you had with your mom?
So there's Louis C.K. talking about moms.
Hilarious.
Louis C.K. says he's voting for Hillary because he wants a mom. So we just had an article that said some voters actually don't want her in because she's a mom. Louis C.K. is saying he wants her in because she is a mom. Let me ask you this question before we go to break, Will. Despite her credentials, including, so I'm going to shift gears a little bit, including a history of fighting for African-American issues, and having a tenure in President Obama's cabinet, she seems to be doing poorly with the African American community, or she's not doing as well as President Obama did. Okay, and maybe not as well as she would like to be doing. She's underperforming with the black, especially with black men in key swing states. It seems like Florida and Ohio. Why does that phenomenon exist? Can you give us a couple of bars before we go to break?
Yeah, no pressure at all. On behalf of all black.
Yeah, come
male
on. Sum it up
voters.
In like 30 seconds.
You got it. Yeah, you know the Clintons on the whole have a bit of a dicey history with the black community.
Okay.
And so we have to start by talking about our husband, President Clinton, who in many regards was seen as the first black president, and he's got, you know, some credibility there. But we're also talking about a president who was responsible for a lot of legislation that resulted in a lot of black males like me being in prison for selling a dime bag of marijuana.
Okay.
And that's really hard for a lot of people to contextualize in the racial climate that we have. And then we talk about Hillary Clinton, who infamously years ago made comments that were construed as describing black male youth as super predators.
Right.
And she has paid dearly for those comments. So in context, her statements weren't as bad, I think, as most people might assume, just passing over that headline.
Right.
But there's no question that I think black voters, black male voters in particular, are extraordinarily sensitive to the optics and what politicians are saying and not saying around support for the African-American community specifically, with issues of police violence and poverty and so forth. A lot of issues that disproportionately affect the black community. Black voters aren't just content with the lesser of the two evils. We're looking for someone who's going to make a difference. It's really hard to see that in this current political climate, and I will leave it at that for now.
Cool. So we're going to go to break now. The question again for the Global Tribe is there a double standard between men and women? Are women being treated differently, especially ones that are ambitious, are focused on their careers, are focused on having it all, having abundance, both at home, at work, and in their communities. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption.
Lucy Liu with my girl Drew, Cameron D and Destiny, Charlie's.
You're listening to the Dudes of Disruption with Coach Nick. You got Will Jackson in studio.
Hello.
We're gonna have We're gonna have Coach Kerry Turner on in a moment. That was Destiny's Child, Independent Woman, Part One. You're listening to Men and Hillary, Men and Powerful Women. Is there a double standard? And if there is, for the dudes out there, let's just get okay with it. Let's actually become let's get connected to what the impact is, right? Let's look to start to find ways where we can honor our differences between men and women, because we are different. Let's honor those differences and then look for opportunities to create together so that we can create a world that has beauty in it and love and care and tenderness. Let's create something beautiful together. Again, the question of the show is there a double standard? Is there a double standard? And we have our friend Stanley Fritz online. He says, there absolutely is, this is an online comment, there absolutely is a double standard. Men are intimidated by intelligent women, Will. That's what he says. Interesting, interesting, interesting. So why don't we bring Coach Kerry Turner live? Why don't we bring her on?
Nick?
Hello, Kerry Turner.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Have you been listening?
I have been.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So, Kerry Turner for the Global Tribe, she's a coach. She coaches women to create a life by design by tapping into feminine energy to heal and empower every facet of their lives. So, Kerry, we've been talking about men and Hillary, men and their relationship to powerful women. You got a baby back there, Kerry?
I'm in transit.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm in Penn Station.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Okay, well, make sure everyone at Penn Station is listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption here at WHCR.org, 90.3 FM.
So, oh, that's not my baby. That's someone else's baby.
Yeah, I got you. So, Kerry, let me ask you this question. What's your take on this thing called a double standard? Is there one? Where have you seen it during this political race? Where do you see it in your personal life?
So, yes, there's definitely a double standard. And in this election, for me, I mean, it seems we're overwhelmingly willing to overlook a man's integrity issues and to dismiss his shortcomings. You know, like boys will be boys or
right.
That kind of thing. But while a woman is held to a standard of being perfect with an unblemished record.
Right.
So that's the way I see it. There's definitely a different lens from which Hillary is being viewed versus Donald Trump.
You know, it's interesting you say that there's a different lens. You know, Hillary for almost 20 years now has been crucified. I mean, really bashed for, quote unquote, backing her husband, Bill Clinton, for him, you know, being out of integrity, going outside of the marriage. You know, how dare her, right? So the party that supposedly represents family values has gone after her for 20 years around it. And it was interesting to see Melania Trump on CNN, where they asked her about, you know, her husband and the videotape and then these 12 women who have come out against him. And, you know, she basically said, well, no, you don't know my husband. He's not that kind of person. That, you know, she said boys will be boys. Basically, she's standing by her husband very much like Hillary did. Now, regardless if I agree with either one of them standing by their husband, it is interesting that Melania is not getting any grief for standing by her husband, but Hillary has.
Absolutely. And you could see how, I mean, there are different roles right now. Melania's more in a traditional role right now as far as possibly being the first lady, whereas
right.
Hillary is running for president.
Yes.
So, I mean, there is a different standard for which just even who they are as women
yes.
Is being held to.
Yes. So we were just before you came on, we were, Will and I, who's in studio with us, Will Jackson, we were just talking about this article that I found on Huffington Post, and It was talking about are white male voters in particular having an issue with Hillary because she has done poorly with them consistently and is currently doing poorly with them. Is it because she's a mom? Are white dudes having a mom issue, right? What's your take on that? Is there an issue because she represents mom? And sometimes for the dudes out there who have had moms and have had this conflict-ridden relationship with their mothers, is that somehow triggering, like, you know, bad juju, bad memories?
Yeah, definitely. I think so, because there's some deep-seated unconscious things going on here with this election. I know I heard you say, and it's from the article, like the past never leaves us.
Right.
So, I mean, we do, you know, we have cellular memory. And before we're 8 years old, we develop core beliefs, including our limiting ones.
Yes.
So these are things that white males might not even be conscious of why they are in resistance to Hillary being the boss of our country. I think it can be quite triggering.
Yes.
New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof said in his column this week, and, you know, strong women just drive some people nuts. And
yes,
I think that is definitely happening, and it is due to any kind of, like, lingering mommy issues is quite possible.
Yes. Let me ask you this last question before we let you go on your train. By the way, where are you headed to, Carrie?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, awesome. Harrisburg,
not
all right.
Not somewhere exotic, unfortunately.
All right. Well, if you're a fan of one of the candidates, you might want to go and campaign for them, because Pennsylvania is one of those swing states.
I know, I saw, and I did cast my absentee ballot today, which felt really awesome.
Congratulations. Yes, love that, Carrie. So if you were coaching a man, Carrie, around getting connected to this thing called potentially this paradigm called men being the dominant gender, especially as it relates to in the areas of career or in finances or even at home for that matter, right? There is this paradigm that's existed for a really, really long time. What would you say to them? And I understand you're not a dude, you're a woman, but what would you say to them being someone who actually works with women?
So I would say, I mean, the Dalai Lama said back in 2009, the world will be saved by the Western woman. And I mean, the times are changing and we're seeing us moving in that direction. I would remind any man that I was coaching that we're always a choice, and he could choose to resist the changes or he could look for the gift and change the lens from a patriarchal society into one that's really moving in harmony with us working together. I mean, let's face it, you guys have a lot of pressure and roles and expectations of what it means to be a man that I can't even imagine what that is since I'm a woman.
Right.
But what would it be like to shift that and let go of some of that pressure and expectations of what it means to be a man, allowing a woman to take on and share some parts of it and being partners in this thing called life where the masculine and feminine can be equally celebrated.
Got
and
it.
Be seen for their strength.
Got it.
Hey, can I jump in here? Hi, Carrie. I'm Will. I'm on the show today.
Hi, Will. How are you? Yes, I saw you.
Wonderful. Oh, wonderful. So
There's Will.
We're practically friends. I'd love to bother you.
We're all friends, Will. We're all friends.
I'd love to bother you a little bit more and ask if you could speak to, if you're speaking to men in particular, the benefit of embracing the feminine energy, the feminine perspective, and the feminine side. I have my own thoughts, but I feel like you could speak really well to that, and I'm curious if you have any strong headlining reactions to the notion of the benefits that men would appreciate and experience by embracing all things feminine.
Sure. So, I mean, I think it would, first of all, the benefits would be our connection to each other, I believe, would be stronger as men and women, but also as a country, where we're respecting each other on a new and more profound level. And I think that given women the space to allow the feminine energy to rise up, that we too, that what we resist around the masculine energy, I think could also be embraced on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, a lot of the things that are happening in our world are masculine energy driven, and I think that the feminine energy could really create the shift that we need to start to live in a peaceful world. I mean, we're at a crisis point here. And I think that the more aware we are, the call for feminine energy is just so important right now in our, not just in our country, but in our entire world.
You are listening to Coach Kerry Turner, who coaches women to create a life by designing and tapping into feminine energy to heal and empower every facet of their lives. Kerry, real quick before we let you go, what's your email address?
Kerry, K-E-R-R-Y, at kerryturnercoaching.com.
Awesome. Kerry is an awesome human being, a friend of Coach Nick and the show.
And Will.
And Will now.
And now
right.
Will.
And now Will. Kerry, will you please come back to our show?
Of course I would be honored.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
And Kerry, before I let you go, the dudes have a men's group that's meeting tomorrow night and on the 21st. We'd love for you to send some of your dudes, some of the dudes that you know. All right.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Cool.
Send me some information too and I'll put it on my Facebook page.
Oh, cool. Thank you, Kerry. Have a safe trip.
Thank you. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
We now have another caller calling in. Who's calling? Everyone's calling in, Will. People want some of the dudes. They want some of Coach Nick. They want some of Will. Who do we have on the line? Hello?
Hello.
Who's this?
Hey, it's James from Thornwood.
James from Thornwood. Wow. A blast from the past. James from Thornbird, you used to call in at the beginning of the Dudes of Disruption. We first started about 18 months ago.
It took me 18 months to find your new spot on the radio. So.
Well, we love having you back, James. Are you having a great Sunday?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. So I want to, I'd love to ask you a couple of questions, James, because I want to move it away from Hillary, because we've been talking a lot about men and Hillary, and really shift the conversation a little bit more to men and just women, right? I've run men's groups. I've run three men's groups over the last 10 years. I coach men. I do programs with men. I really want to know, get your perspective on this. Do men really, really want their women to be strong, to be powerful, maybe even be stronger and more powerful than them in the areas of finance, in the areas of career, in the areas of home, in the areas of community? Do we really, like capital, really want them standing up and being stronger than us? What's your take on it, James?
Well, I think, you and this show in general deals with automatic. And
right.
I think the automatic answer that I would have would be, of course.
Right.
Of course I want my wife to be successful. Of course I want her to do as well as possible. Of course I want to have all the women in my life get as big as possible and go on to do really big things and really great things and really impactful things in the world. And I would say there's like a little piece of me
right.
that feels a little full of baloney in saying that. Because, based upon results,
right.
based upon real life experience, when I've seen women in my life, even women that I care deeply about and love, and the women that really give my life value, when I see them up to big things,
right.
there is a part of me that feels like, well, am I getting left behind?
Yeah.
Is this how, I guess it's actually supposed to be in my male-oriented mind and world?
And I love that you're telling on yourself, and the point of this show, as you said, is about disrupting the automatics. It's not to make us men wrong that we may have an issue with our women becoming stronger, taking a different place in the world, and certainly taking a different place inside of our relationships, into our intimate dynamics that we have. Rather, is to become aware of that it may be impacting our relationships, the way we interact and the way that we relate to them, right? I had an ex, so I'll tell on myself, James, and you were so kind enough to do as well. I had an ex who, when I was with her, got signed to a publishing deal by Random House to write a book. And she got this huge, advance as good authors would get. And she ended up it ended up being a USA best-selling book. And I remember being twisted around it. I remember feeling like, well, why you? Like, I'm the loudmouth here. I mean, look at me. I'm on the air. I speak in front of groups of people, right? Like, and I literally, the words came out of my mouth, James. I mean, and it was a low point of my life, of my career, when I said, why you? And again, what I've realized is not to make myself wrong around that. Rather, that's been in the background. And it's been influencing how I interact with women. And so by us telling on ourselves, it actually gives us the opportunity to create something different. Let me ask you this before I let you go, James. What do you think men are most uncomfortable with as it relates to women changing their position in the world? Is there one specific thing that you think men are more uncomfortable with than others? And I know that's like a very broad question, but just want to get your thoughts on that.
You know, I mean, I'll share just, you know, personally, which is always a place where I look, especially when I'm like in my, I'll call it my smallest, you know, which is significance, right? And so, am I less significant? Am I losing some of my significance?
Right.
When, you know, others around me, including the women in my life around me, are growing bigger and bigger. And, you know, it's something that I'm certainly not, you know, proud to, you know, to take on, but or to admit to. But it is something that I kind of, in looking at it, you know, am I measuring my own significance based upon the person that I'm standing next to? And is there an automatic that happens when I start to do so, when that person is getting bigger? Because, you know, like I said, I think the automatic is, of course, I want my wife to take over the world. And then, you know, something happens along the way when that starts to actually happen. And there
right.
is like an internal for me, an internal kind of like there's a piece of me inside that's like, well, but wait a second.
Well, what I'm actually hearing you say, James, is that in some ways this is not actually a man and woman gender situation or issue. It actually has to do with how are we feeling about ourselves? Who are we being? Right. It actually has nothing to do with the other person. The other person could be a man. It could be a woman. It could be a child. It could be a group of people. Ultimately, I think what I'm hearing you say is if I'm feeling and being a certain way, then I view the world in a very certain way. And that actually impacts my relationship with them. And if I'm feeling down and disempowered and I've taken myself off the court of the game of life, then, yeah, I don't want anybody else winning either. I don't want anybody else advancing. I don't want anybody else to have a stronger position. I'm going to be resentful, actually.
And I think, but to, and I, without a doubt, but to the point of the show today, I think it adds a new dimension when you bring gender into that conversation.
Yes, I agree.
And I think that conversation for men, speaking from, you know, speaking personally, It adds something. It adds a new dynamic to that already existing conversation when you bring gender into it.
James, thank you for calling. A couple of the old timers online are commenting, saying James's voice. They're glad to have you back. You were the fourth dude, if you remember. Please, will you call back again next week?
Absolutely.
Okay. Have an awesome rest of the day. Honor your woman. Honor the women in your life. And thank you again for calling in.
Okay, thank you. Good to hear your voice, Will.
Thank you. Oh, he's talking to you, Will. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, Disrupting Your Automatics. We'll be right back. All right, Global Tribe, you're listening to Coach Nick, Dudes of Disruption. We've got a dude, Will Jackson, in the studio.
It's true.
It's true, right? We've had some callers. We're talking about men and Hillary. More importantly, we're talking about men and their relationship to powerful women. And is there a double standard? And if there is, let's just fess up and deal with it, because I believe together we can create something incredible. So the dudes are on with Coach Nick here. Every Sunday, like we are right now, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., and then we drop a podcast. We've got, this is actually going to be episode number 80, Will. So the podcast will drop early this week. So please listen to the Dudes of Disruption. You can find us on iTunes and on Podomatic. We also have a men's group. We've got our next session is tomorrow night, 11:07 or 11:21. Send your people. Email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. We've been listening to, again, Dudes of Disruption and Coach Nick. We've got an online comment here, Will, from a friend here, Trevor Rees. There's a lot of powerful, intelligent women I look up to, but they are trustworthy and honest, unlike Hillary. Interesting, interesting, interesting. So we still have some haters. That's okay. It's part of what the country's all about, right?
I don't think that was a hate. I think that was a perfectly reasonable comment. Like, maybe he describes himself as a hater, but I think that is a reasonable and well-adjusted way of thinking about a relationship to woman in power, and specifically how this candidate in particular shapes up.
Yeah, and I want to just keep asking the question to the Global Tribe, and Trevor, please keep sending your comments in, because I agree with you, Will. Is there something about having a woman in a powerful position that's tweaking us? And go beyond, and just go beyond the obvious yes or no, for that matter, right? Like, what about it, right? What about having a woman? Listen, most of us have grown up in a world where men have dominated the areas of home and career and finances, and that's okay. That's the world we grew up in, and the world continues to evolve. There's been a disruption. Potentially, there may be a major disruption on Tuesday if a first woman gets elected. And so let's keep exploring this thing called, is there something about having a woman in a powerful position tweaking me or making me feel uncomfortable? Not because I'm a bad person or anyone out in the Global Tribe is a bad person, but just so we can become aware of these feelings, because those feelings do drive some of the choices we make, some of the decisions that we make. So we've had Will Jackson in the studio. Will you come back too?
I would love to come back.
Okay, Will, as I said, is the founder
and publisher
of Abernathy Magazine.
.com.
Will's website is williejackson.com.
That's Willie. Yes, it's country, but it's mine.
Awesome. And his email is willie@williejackson.com. Willie, you have any final parting shots?
You know, I work as an inclusion strategist, and I help tech companies in particular think about notions of unconscious bias. Excuse me, unconscious bias, and the ways in which the ideas that we have and the ideas that we hold shape the decisions that we make. And one of the things I love about this segment, the show, and how you're reinforcing this notion of not making people feel bad for the things that they're doing and not shaming men for their perspectives, but really surfacing what it is that's causing us to feel a certain way. And I resonate with that mission and that perspective completely, because I think that's the beginning of change, acknowledging the ways in which the things that we feel affect the decisions that we make, potentially on an unconscious level. And as we look at these disparities in tech and across various industries and in my line of work around helping companies think about activating their diversity and inclusion initiatives, and however we're talking about this, it's really critical that we name the problem specifically and discuss the ways in which our unconscious biases affect our decisions. So I think you're to be commended for this conversation that you're having, and the caller who shared some very candid thoughts around how women in power make him feel. I think that's important. I think it's commendable. So good on you, Nick, and thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you, Will, for coming in. And Will is going to be coming back in a couple of weeks. Michael Moore recently said, Will, it's the muscle memory of 10,000 years that's in our DNA where we've run the show, meaning we men have run the show forever. He was sharing in a MSNBC interview. Next Tuesday, or this coming Tuesday possibly, he says, and he says hopefully, a woman is going to lead the most powerful country on earth. In other words, the 10,000-year reign is over. Are men ready for the potential change? Regardless if Hillary wins, the world is still changing and will continue to change. Regardless if she's president or not, the world is a demand for change, a change for women, for race, for sex, for social issues.
So much sex.
So much sex, exactly. So Global Tribe, instead of worrying or being angry at women, or what women may be doing to men, or what women have taken away from men. Well, here's what I say to the Global Tribe of dudes in particular, which is, let's look at this actually as an opportunity to define what it means to be a man. What does it really mean to be a man in 2016? The world that I grew up in, which was the 70s and 80s and 90s, I'm showing my age now, was a different world, not better or worse. It was just a different world. And for some of our listeners who are even older than that, it's a different world. So the opportunity right now in 2016 is to define what it means to be a man. And I think that's actually our good news. So join me. Join our men's group and other forums, other platforms, and seize this moment so that we can go together with men, with women, with all religions, all races, all kinds of folks, and go create the world that we want to create so that we can be fulfilled and self-expressed and unleashed. Thank you so much for listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. We're back next Sunday, 2 to 3. We have a podcast that will drop on iTunes and Podomatic early this week, and we end every show with a quote, Will, from a major disruptor, which is Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. A big, huge, major smile because we just happened.